Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Remember, you guys, for tickets to my live shows, you only want to go to heathermcdonald.net. Also, there is fresh and fun new merch. And of course, where you join my Patreon, which you can listen to every Friday, all the back episodes, different levels, the juiciest of the juice, and so much more. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have returning guest, my one-time office mate husband, mustached, gorgeous Guy Branum, actor, writer, showrunner, creator, stand-up comedian. And are you still a lawyer?
I'm not still officially a lawyer.
But you did pass the bar.
I passed the bar, but my bar membership is gone.
Right, you didn't keep up with it.
No.
Okay.
If you want a DUI taken care of, you have to go to your sister.
Okay, great. I was just thinking about driving over here, all the things I was going to say about you. So there's no better person to cover the Oscars with than you. But we're not going to do the whole show, the Oscars, because I know some people don't care. But let's talk about me. I went to a fabulous party. I feel like in my years of going on the red carpet, I've always been like, well, I'm not in the movie. And I never like go full out.
Yes.
And then I go through all this effort and my photo gets nowhere.
Yes.
I could already say this from the night it's gone on OK.
Yeah.
OK, so I'm very excited about OK Magazine.
Yes.
But I was like, I'm going to get like another long dress, kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I go to my new mall. It's not new. It's been around forever. But they have a lot of new stores. At Topanga Social.
Uh-huh.
It's in the West Valley.
Yes.
And Neiman's wasn't open till 12. So I went and I found such a great store, way less expensive, with some kind of inexpensive cheesy dresses, but kind of perfect for the red carpet.
I mean, the thing is like, it's not about like the detailing and everything that a person notices up close. It's like, is it splash on a red carpet, you know?
I mean, $300.
If I would say anything, if you had had something that contrasted better with your backdrop, but you never know what your step and repeat is going to look like.
I didn't know. It could have been, you know, white with blue writing, which would have been a lot better.
Yes.
I'm not thrilled that I matched the backdrop so much. But then if someone took a flash, I don't know what this cheap material is. It like... it lightened up.
That's wonderful. But also, Heather, the thing is that...
I'm with the pretty best. I'll tell you all about that in a minute. Yes.
But the thing is like, neither of us are getting nominated for Best Actress.
No.
So, like, being in good taste is not the answer. And if anybody represents that better, it's Erika Jayne. Like, she has been in somewhat trashy taste for, like, 3 years, and now she gets to, like...
now she's classy lady.
Yes.
So, Erika Jayne... and I go way back.
Yes.
She came on my show like 5 years ago.
Yes.
And of course, I've covered everything with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and the Tom Girardi scandal and blah, blah. But over the weekend, I watched her two-part doc on Bravo about her getting her residency on...
Always Bet on Blonde? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yes.
And I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
And so I DM'd her and I said, I really like this. I'm really happy for you. She saves a lot of juice about... Tom and her life and everything for this special, which I thought was really smart. She didn't give it to an interview. She didn't necessarily say it on the Beverly Hills show. She has a lot more control over it. She comes off really great. And she really is like a fun, cool. She's not this ice queen that you saw the last couple seasons because her lawyers were telling her to be that way. You know, like it's very interesting.
Well, also getting through something that big and that public, I think she is one of the best housewives in terms of using that as a platform to turn herself into the thing that she wanted to become, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I want to go to Vegas and see her.
So when you watch this special, the show looks really good. And I heard from people, I was like, how is the show, you know?
Yeah.
And just because I'm curious. And they were like, I'm like, how long was it? Because a lot, sometimes when these Bravo celebrities go and do stage shows, I hear they're short or the whole time it's Q&A.
It's Vegas. I want an hour 10 of fun. I don't want anything more than that.
No, but sometimes these shows are like, oh, there's a big chunk in the middle.
Yes.
No, everyone said it was like solid fun.
Yeah.
Lots of hits, dancing, hot guys, hot girls, like full on. And, you know, so we were talking. She's like, well, you know, I've been doing this since I was like 5. I've been a singer, dancer, whatever. And anyway, we had a great conversation, lots of juice, lots just for that booth.
Yeah.
Maybe for you later. Anyway, hopefully she'll come back on Juicy Scoop and people can see that there is like a fun side to her that you don't really see on the Beverly Hills Housewife.
Well, I think it was there
like
for
a girlfriend
like,
side.
I think it was like there a little bit in her first couple of seasons and then had to go away when she was like dealing with all the Tom stuff.
Yeah.
Though it has been weird. I mean, one of the great shifts of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills of the last season is going from Kyle treating Dorit like her best girl to treating Erica like her. Erica's been such a good friend to me.
Erica really has.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But also, I will always stand to reach.
But I think also, I said this to Erica too. I go, there's a scene where, you know, she comes over when the news is broke that they're separated, Kyle and Mauricio. And I said, you were so great in that moment and so relatable. And you gave such good advice. And you could really see that you were a good friend, but also a woman. Who was married for 20 years, who's been through some shit.
And that's the thing is that Dorit can't be there for her in the same way because, like, Kyle's life is falling apart and she's having to figure out how to rebuild herself under new and queerer terms. Who better than Erica Jane to help her out with that? But just to circle back to Real Housewives doing stage shows, are you actively pissed off at all of the stand-ups who are now just doing an hour of Q&A?
Wait, stand-ups are doing this?
Yes.
Wait, tell me about it. Who's doing that?
Like, you know who Matt Rife is, don't
you?
Yes,
yes. Oh, I have a Matt Rife story.
Yes. Well, apparently now he just, like, he does, like, a little bit of stand-up, and then he does an hour of Q&A, and then an hour of opening gifts from the audience. Like, a bunch of people. Or, like, you'll see clips from, like, you know, Mateo Lane, and it's just him just, like, taking questions from the audience. And it is
real. Well, I can honestly say I have a bunch of new shows coming up, and that is not going to be my show. I actually don't like doing questions, even when I do live Juicy Scoops. I stopped that a couple years ago. I think it's kind of.
Do people ask you the same thing over and over again?
No, I just think it's kind of lazy, and I only think it's fun for the person asking the question.
Yeah.
And I just am like, I only have an hour and a half, and I have so much more juice and fun to give you. That I would rather do it in a real show.
Well,
I don't think Q&As are really part of a show. I think that should be like a meet and greet.
I think all people from Los Angeles hate Q&As because we've all been to a respectable movie at the Arclight and had a person stand up and their question is just about, have you noticed how smart I am?
Yeah. I do think sometimes that goes on too long or it's a part of it. It's okay if it's a part of it, but like, again,
it's,
people
it's fun
start
when
chatting.
You're on a panel. It's fun when you're on a panel and
oh,
you're
yeah,
like,
when you're on a panel, yeah.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, as a stand-up, like, no, give the fun. But I do feel like because those are what made so many people viral is their crowd work.
Yes.
Something I've never really done much of for the same reason is that I'm so excited to get on stage and do the stuff that's new and the stuff that's like polished and perfect that I'm like, I want them to see it all. I want their husband to see it. I want that. So I don't go and spend 20 minutes on some weird couple in the front that no one can see in the back.
Yes.
So that's my personal opinion of how I do my shows. HeatherMcDonald.net is where you want to buy your tickets. Only go to HeatherMcDonald.net. Otherwise, you're going to get screwed and you're going to pay triple the price. Yes.
I love crowd work.
Some people are really great at it, and I think it's really fun, and I'm not saying don't do it.
Yes.
I'm just saying I don't do that much, but I might start. Who cares? Also, I got to tell you some juicy scoop. This, I don't know if you watch OC. You don't really watch OC, but I have to tell you about this.
Okay.
Because the juicy scoops are one out. There's this woman, Shannon Bedore.
Uh-huh.
She got divorced and started dating this guy, John Jansen, who we got to see on the show. Age appropriate. Businessman, Newport, they both went to SC, cute, okay?
I mean, that's everything you're looking
but
for in a couple.
Shannon is this girl, very much from my generation, that calls her girlfriends on the phone and trauma dumps, okay?
Uh-huh.
And some of the cast women, some of the housewives, started to say, well, Shannon, like, you know, we don't think this relationship is good because you've told us this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And then she's furious that they said it on camera. It doesn't make John look good. She's like, oh, my God, we're going to, now my relationship's over that you said this. And they're like, but you told us.
Yeah.
Like, you told on yourself. So they break up.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts dating Alexis Bellino, who used to be on the show.
Uh-huh.
And so Shannon's like, I can't. And now they've brought Alexis Bellino back this season. And
Wonderful.
They're filming.
Good for you, Alexis.
So anyway, they're on the red carpet. Now, I've hung out with John Jansen and Shannon Bonover, uh-huh. and so has Peter. So he comes in.
John Jansen is the brunette?
Is this man right here. The brunette is the publicist, and I don't know why he was all over the red carpet.
I mean, but I would like to have sex with the publicist.
Anyway, so John and Peter, like, they know each other. We butted
yes.
on his boat, whatever. So they come over, and we're chatting, and they told me some scoop. So they are in love.
Uh-huh.
They love each other.
Yes.
And anybody who thinks that they're doing this so that she could get back on the show. And I said, yeah, of course. Nobody's going to pretend a relationship for 4 months, sleep with someone just so you can be back on Bravo.
A woman started a website so she could get on SC. Like
get on what?
Salt Lake City. Didn't that woman like...
Oh, no. It was a... it was... No, she... Well, she tried... She started to work for... That Salt Lake City was... She worked for... Jen Shah.
Yes.
But then had a secret Instagram blog count that talked shit about her.
Yes. I mean,
but it was all to get on the show.
I think if people are doing that kind of secret work, I mean.
Maybe they think that.
Yes.
But Alexis told me they were already talking to her about coming back.
Yeah.
She's like, my kids aren't going to be featured. John's not going to be featured. You know, maybe we'll do one or two scenes, but it's not. Because everyone was saying he's super hungry for the camera, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, the reason. And then he goes, nobody knows this. And he did not tell me, Heather, this is not for Juicy Scoop.
Okay.
So he said, according to the conversation that I recall, he said, you know, I didn't want to be featured on the show. But part of Shannon going back on the show, part of her contract was that I would film with her.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I felt this pressure of like, this woman has to have this job or I'm, you know. And
yeah.
then in the end, his friend, his character was trashed because he looks like he wasn't a good boyfriend
yeah.
and then jumped to a younger woman. And he's like, we tried to avoid each other and we tried to be friends, but the chemistry is off the hook and we are really in love.
I mean, this is exciting. OC having its own young, hot Harry Dubin makes me very excited.
Yes. Okay, so. Phaedra was there.
I mean, very exciting.
Phaedra from Traitors. Just, wow, what a pop moment. And so was Peter the Pilot.
Oh, really?
Peter the Pilot. And
yes.
I walked right up to her and she said, and I said, you were so great in the Traitors, especially when you said, and I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose. But they were very chubby. They took a photo together, too.
I mean, watching them in the reunion be adorable at each other, the people who, like, MJ being bitter in the reunion, it's like, it's a game. And I don't understand people not understanding that. Phaedra played that game so well. I kind of have to question the game that someone as good as her has to come to the point where she's just like, I'm tired. I can't play anymore.
Well, Peter the Pilot, who then was talking to Peter about becoming a pilot, which was my biggest fear once
you
he became a captain.
You cannot let your husband fly little planes. Like,
I said, as long as you don't take my children with you, go fly away. Okay?
No,
I'm not going on the plane. And the people that I've spent my entire life growing in my tummy and then into men outside of my tummy are not going in the plane. But Brandon already, like, took a lesson.
Oh,
I
no,
can't.
No.
I know. Anyway. It's horrible. So we're sitting there, and he said, you know what?
Tell Peter to get a mortuary. Like, that's a business. That's a skill. Phaedra, Phaedra loved learning about doing that stuff.
Right. For people that don't know, Phaedra from Real Housewives of Atlanta is a lawyer and a mortician.
Yes.
And now, you know, killing it on these shows.
Yes.
I think that she would also be great in, like, a fun. I know this is such an easy concept. We used to do it with Chelsea lately. but have like a, have her be a judge. She is a lawyer, but it could be just, you know, funny things like my roommate stole my this, like we used to do.
Revitalizing.
Because she's just like so sharp.
Judge shows are so fun, and I feel like they are now only playing to really old audiences with Judge Judy. And to see it be, Phaedra would be amazing.
Do you remember how we would find the people in the audience?
Yes.
Like waiting to go in, and we're like, do you have an issue?
Yes.
And then we'd have Chelsea come out, and Shuey was the bailiff, and we'd have all these funny things, and it would really be like, two roommates,
yes,
little things, a car stuff. And then it was really, I mean, it was really funny, but her sass would be great. And then, but he said, Peter the pilot said, after talking to the people that have done the challenge and everything, that this is by far like everyone's favorite type of show to do like this. I'm like, I know I would choose this if I was asked over Big Brothers, over maybe even Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Like, I just think talking to people and like lying and making friends and that kind of shit to me sounds so much more fun than like wearing character shoes and sweating.
But getting in Dancing with the Stars shape, you would get to be so proud of yourself.
But I mean, listen, if it happens, it happens. But at this point, I don't think it's going to.
Traitors would be like a beautiful use of all of your sorority skills as well. I would really like to see you, because I feel like what nobody has been able to do is be a traitor and successfully feel like they are still trying to find somebody.
Yeah.
And I feel like you, like, has there been an improviser? Because do you remember during the golden age of televised poker, like all of these dudes would get there and be like, yeah, I'm great at poker. And then like lady improvisers fucking took them down every time because they were so good at just like, Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV won one of the seasons.
Oh my God, how fun.
Because they were just so good at like clocking what other people are doing, masking their own intentions.
Observing, observing that they did this and they caught. Yeah, you're right. That could be really fun trying to figure it out. And then, of course, if I ever got the tap and was the traitor, that would be hard. I'd much prefer to be a faithful and try to figure out who's the traitors. But coming to the end of the traitors, so it was the two people from the challenge, Trishelle and CT, and MJ. And MJ's like, okay, let's end the show. They got rid of Kate, who was the traitor.
Yes.
And then they're like, but do you think, I definitely think, and I said this to MJ last night, I'm like, they found each other without cameras and was like, we know she's not one. You and I know she's not one. Let's get her out and share a little more money. Anyway, very juicy, very fun. But that's why MJ was sad.
No, 100% I think they just aced her out because they were a team. It will be interesting in future seasons seeing the way that people naturally form up into like Team Bravo, Team MTV, that kind of thing.
Okay, so I agree. Meredith Marks from Real House of Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Gorgeous. And do you know that she has a caviar line?
I did not know that she has a caviar line.
And that was part of the food at the Spago.
Oh, that's exciting.
It started with a little caviar cart.
Yes.
And delicious on a little potato.
Yes.
Little creme fraiche.
Yes.
There was like five courses. It was so good.
Yes.
At this party. Drinks flowing.
I mean, is she growing her own caviar in the Great Salt Lake? Or
I thought it was a weird match, but it's been at some parties and it's delicious.
I mean, we all love caviar.
I mean, I wouldn't know the difference between, one from a caviar broker.
Yes.
And, you know, and Meredith. So to me, I think you put the little egg and all the stuff in the potato.
I'm doing something fancy.
Good.
I love champagne.
Yeah, I would think that would be the kind of thing. I also feel like champagne is something that providing it's extremely cold, it's very hard to tell if it's $100, to me, $100 bottle or a $20 bottle.
No, I refuse to hear this from you because you once, a good decade ago, referred to a situation and you said, at the end of the day, I'm just in it for the Vove.
Yes, well, that I do agree. I love it, but I also feel like if I was to do a taste test, it'd probably be hard to distinguish.
No, there's some real crap out there. You're just not having to experience it.
I guess I'm not.
But I did like that.
Because I do always do
you're not in it
the Vove, the Vove.
You're not in it for the Dom Perignon. Like, you're there.
Yeah, I think the Vove is like,
Vove is the correct answer.
Love you. Did you know that it's actually really important to shift your skincare routine with the seasons? That's why I love OneSkin. I have been using it, and I feel like my skin is softer. It feels like it has a glowness to it that it didn't have before. For a limited time, our Juicy Scoopers will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code JUICY when you check out at OneSkin.co. No matter the season, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin. All you do is cleanse, creams, pat your skin dry, and then you apply twice daily. One Skin topical face, eye, body, and shield can all be used with other products and easily fit into your current skincare routine. One Skin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, One Skin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code JUICY at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUICY. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Juicy Scoop and tell them I sent you. New year, healthier skin. That's One Skin. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with One Skin. All right, let's get into the finale of Traitors. It was really, really juicy. So we start out the episode. It's Sheree gets murdered. Kate decides to get rid of Sheba Sheree because she's in the Bravo world and she thinks that's going to take the heat off of her. Now we've got Sandra, CT, Trishelle, MJ, and Kate. And they go and do a challenge where they're in these wetsuits and they're running around. And thank God CT is there because he's the only one that can like collect more money for the pot. When they come back and they're driving in the car is when CT just basically says right to Kate, are you a traitor? I think you're a traitor. She's like, that's rude. And they start talking because Sandra, Trishelle, and CT have this like kind of alliance going and they definitely think it's Kate. Kate's really smart at this point in planting seeds of doubt both in CT and Sandra's brain that they really aren't as loyal together. So when they get to the round table and they're all wearing great outfits, in fact, Sandra goes, Kate's outfit even screams traitor. It turns out that, yes, Sandra votes for Kate as a traitor. MJ does not believe Kate's a traitor. She thinks it's Sandra. And CT and Trishelle also turn on Sandra. She gets kicked out and reveals, I'm in fact a faithful. So now the four of them, Kate, MJ, CT, and Trishelle, come down to the fire. And if there's a traitor among them, then the traitor will take all the money, which of course is Kate. So Kate's acting like a faithful, like, oh my God, it's the four of us. The four of us are going to be able to split this money. They're like, no, we want to vote once more. And they do vote Kate out. So now MJ's like, great, the three of us, we made it. We're going to split this 200,010 pot. And then he goes, well, unless you want to vote another person out. And MJ's like, no. And they say, yes, we do want to vote. And it's so crazy. And this is where I'm like, wait a minute. I really think they played the game. They actually start to like turn on each other to make it appear like they're doubting each other, Trishelle and CT. But in the end, they both kick out MJ. And she is like so pissed. And so then they reveal to each other that they're both faithfuls and they jump and you're like, are these people going to have sex or what's going on? And then they have a big reunion and MJ is just very pissed. She's very hurt. She blocked them on social media and she's like, no, why would I let you be part of my life? You completely screwed me out of money. I thought the three of us were going to make it. I think they, you know, always had a plan, but it was very juicy. Phaedra comes back and it was great to see all the other people and kind of see how people felt when they got kicked off or whatnot. Anyway, it was so juicy. It was so great to see some of my favorites in this different competition, meet new people. It's such a good show. I cannot wait to go back and watch season one now. Okay. Ashley Darby, very cute from Adorable. Real Housewives of Potomac. This cute boy, I don't know, he's some cutie on TikTok. I saw Vicky.
Wow.
Vicky.
Icon.
And she was like, Heather, she looked thin. She looked great.
Yes.
She talked about how now they were doing the Tres Amigos, again, a live show.
Yeah.
With Tamra, Shannon, and Vicky.
Uh-huh.
But Tamra didn't want to do it anymore, or they were mad that Tamra was friends with Alexis because yeah. Tamra's still on the show or whatever. So now it's just Shannon and Vicky going on the road, doing a comedy tour. They're going to all the improvs.
That's wonderful. Knowing that the green rooms have been blessed by Real Housewives is very exciting. But it is fun to go to industry parties like every 6 months and be just like, oh, so they're on Ozempic now too. Like it really is watching it spread. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Oh, I talked to a plastic surgeon at another party I went to on Saturday night.
This is why you follow. This is why you listen to Heather McDonald, because she goes to the places and she asks the questions that we all want.
He said that business is very slow right now and he doesn't know why. I think it's because no one's getting lipo.
Yeah.
And then he said, yes, baby, they're on Ozempic and they're enjoying their body so much that they're not thinking about their face.
Yeah.
But if it's true about Ozempic face, then they will need the work there.
But
so
don't
who
you
knows?
Think Ozempic face can be dealt with through fillers?
Yes, but then they'll have to come to him.
But if they'll just go to like a dentist.
They shouldn't. They should go to a real...
Kendra.
Playmate turned realtor.
Oh, yes. Icon. Is she still in like Pittsburgh or whatever?
No, she lives in Calabasas.
Oh, okay.
She does real estate. Gertie from Miami. She's a real delight. Real fun delight. Gorgeous fun. Sutton.
Icon.
She's inviting me to her store. She's got a party this week.
Ugh. Watching the reunion.
Oh, there's Peter and yes.
Nobody's better at throwing bar, like she's just so good at being like everything that comes at her is the most hurtful thing ever, and anything she says to anyone is it's just sarcasm. And
how do you think she's doing in the reunion? Have you watched the last two episodes?
Watched the last two episodes. Okay. I mean, I
of Beverly Hills.
I'm always frustrated with her. I feel like it's just such a rough game because she, Crystal, and Garcelle are so powerful. The other three cannot form up in any way. Like they are. Beverly Hills isn't a good show when Kyle is out on a limb, you know?
Right.
Kyle is like such a central character.
She's like the foundation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would say if we're going to shift the dynamics of the show, Garcelle has to get a better backyard. Like, and I realize that Garcelle is a fundamentally different game. She is not getting $300,000 a month.
Right.
Though, I must say, learning about...
Sutton gets $300,000 a month tax-free of
Christian.
Is that just child support or
it's
an alimony?
But the thing is if
alimony, not even counting child support, so that won't stop because the child support will stop eventually when the kids get older.
No, but alimony does stop. Alimony is only for a period of time.
I thought if you're married for at least 20 years, it never stops unless you get remarried.
I don't think so, because the thing I was actively worried about was that she lives the way she does. Because I would have assumed with the way that her husband's wealth exists, that she would have gotten just a huge property settlement. And I'm sure with her owning a couple of baseball teams that she doesn't know about, that it is a huge property settlement. I just worry about her hitting a point in time if it does have a cutoff at 10 years or 20 years where she's like, I don't know how to live like this.
I think, I think that was crazy that it got exposed on Watch What Happens Live.
Yes.
I mean, that's where I believe it was exposed. Maybe someone else found out.
Did she say it herself or did he ask her?
What I saw, and this, I don't know what came first, but he brought it up.
Yeah.
And then she said yes, and that's...
I mean, that's
insane. That's tax-free or something. She added to it. Or she kind of was like, well, it's more than that. Whatever. I appreciate her honesty. We begged for wealthy women.
No, 100%.
People got angry if someone didn't have good countertops, and they're like, how are this person a housewife?
And it does make me...
We deliver a really wealthy woman, and then you're like, well, it's boring that she just bought a horse. Too bad. That's what we wanted.
That was really... It was Kyle's best moment from the reunion.
Yes.
It was like, all you have, it was some...
She said, I've given my whole life on this show. My daughter was in a crib when we started. She's now driving. You know, family members, separations, all this stuff. She goes, what did you do? You bought a horse and you met with a dating coach.
It was great. And also, I'm sorry that I came for Garcelle about her backyard. Like, knowing, watching these situations and then knowing that every fucking penny that Garcelle has, she fucking TV movied into her life.
Yes.
I have
and
so
now
much
she's
respect
producing
for her.
And everything.
Yeah.
I think Garcelle is great on the show. I think Crystal is really starting to feel herself.
Oh, it's exciting. I'm so tired of that fucking brother. I don't care about your brother. It's not the most interesting thing about you. Give me something. Like, Crystal feeling herself. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
But, like, the fact that, like, Dorit and Anne-Marie didn't understand. That's what you're supposed to do. You should come for one of the little ones. Like, go after... Like, if Dorit started a fucking teardown fight with Crystal, that would give us a reason to have Dorit on the show. Like, you know, I really feel like, you know.
Do you think Chris Dorit could be on the chopping block?
It makes me so sad because she is truly my favorite.
Even with her E.T. outfit. I was like, what is this red thing? I'm like,
I loved it.
In a basket, fly over the moon, and her little squiggly
I had not seen High Glamour from Dorit a lot this season, and I love High Glamour from Dorit. It made me so happy.
Good.
But truly, Skyping with PK about, I'm worried about my marriage. I have PTSD. I don't care about any of that. I want to see her, if she'd stood up for herself in any reasonable way against Garcelle, that could have been interesting and juicy and had
I do think it's really scary.
100%.
To say anything, but I apologize, I didn't mean it.
100%. Yeah. But I think, like, something as simple as, like, my parents are immigrants, the racial dynamics of this country don't make the same sense to me that they do to other people, could have been an interesting conversation to have.
Right.
But, like, she's floundering without having a Kyle to cling to, and it's making me sad. I truly think that her deciding that something Crystal did was offensive to her about an outfit, like something sort of like a safe territory of,
you,
like,
you want to see that, you mean?
I think that
I don't even remember. Wait, what were they fighting about? Oh, because she made a crack at Crystal saying child bride.
Yes.
Which, you know, was Crystal, a bad comment to say, because I've interviewed Crystal. Crystal graduated from UC Irvine. She does have a company that she started with, like, her college or high school friend, which is the coconut water.
I know, but don't tell me a story about how you made $1 million by the time you were 22, because that just means your parents are rich.
It
means
her parents, no, this wasn't her thing.
Oh, really?
But it might have happened after she was married. So I do, who
you don't think her parents funded? You don't think her parents funded?
No, she grew up in the valley. She went to Chaminade. She's like, no, they're not. No. But could the husband have? Maybe, but I don't know.
Yes.
But the point is, she does have a business that's hers, that is successful, that Bravo is choosing for us not to see because they don't find it interesting,
okay, so
which is fine.
It's still an ongoing business.
Yes. It's like at Costco.
That makes me mad. That makes me mad at Bravo. Yeah.
But I do feel like when she's kind of feeling herself, and there's this one moment where she goes, yeah, and I love it or something. And it reminded me of the greatest movie ever, which was the movie that Julianne Moore played Sarah Palin.
Oh, amazing.
And there was this moment where she's backstage or something at one of the things as Sarah Palin, and she goes, we've got to win. I'm not going back to Alaska. And I just was like, oh my God, sometimes I think people get on these shows and they're like, I could take it or leave it.
Yes.
Who cares? And they're down to earth and everything. But by the third season, they're like, oh, no, I've tasted it. I've been to BravoCon. I'm not going back to being nobody.
It's one of my favorite things about Carol Radswell is because however much she wants to pretend that she's better than this and is a respectable novelist, she loves it and she would like some back.
Well, I know her as well.
Yes.
Of course, I had to write her and say, are you watching The Feud?
Yes.
With Truman.
Of course.
Truman versus the Swans.
And her mother-in-law.
And she's like, and I go, don't you think Calista Flockhart is like, I think she looks so beautiful. I love her style. And she was like, she kind of was very protective of her mother-in-law.
Of course.
And so she's like, no, they're not. People are comparing it to Housewives. They weren't like that at all. I go, no, I know what they mean. They just mean we want to relate it to something today, which I think it's very relatable, but from that era. So anyway, it's – but yeah, she was great on the show. I don't think she knows she'll probably never come back or wants to come back.
And
but I thoroughly enjoy her on the show.
I have so much respect for how much she stood up to Andy, and I have so much respect for how much she has
the
stood up.
The greatest moment when she goes, oh, Andy, are you afraid of her too now?
No.
Oh, that's when she. That's
you're
when
so
he was like,
you're so full of shit, Andy. Just, it makes me so happy. At the end of the day, she is an Italian girl from up the Hudson, and she is always my favorite housewife.
Wait, finish your thought, because then I have an Andy question for you.
Well, I wanted to roll this back to Sarah Palin.
Okay, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, on the subject of Sarah Palin, when I watched the Republican response to the State of the Union, I saw a deeply affected brunette with a diamond crucifix, and my first thought was, Heather has to watch this. Will she fall in love with it? Will she, as a Republican woman, be like, hey, I understand where she's coming from, or will she be, I need to do this impression, or both?
I I love the dramaticness of it.
Yes.
I love the shaky voice. I love that she was chosen. I love that people are like, why is she in a kitchen? And then, of course, Scarlett Johansson just killed it.
Yes.
So there's no need for me to practice because it's done and it was timely and she did a great job.
All right. Now ask me about Andy.
Do you know what the latest trouble that he's in?
Oh.
The lawsuits.
Oh, I knew that Nene sued him, but that was settled.
That was old. So
yes.
Then Leah McSweeney, who was on she's suing him. And
he's doing cocaine with the housewives he likes.
Brings up the cocaine thing. Meanwhile, every housewife did post about how great he is. Many people said, hey, I've been on it. I've never been offered.
Yes.
I've been on twice. Never been offered.
Yes.
But now the latest that came over the weekend is that he could sue her for defamation if she doesn't take it back. And her lawyer's like, good luck, buddy. And so I don't know, because he's standing up for himself, defending himself through his lawyers.
Do you know how Oscar Wilde died?
No.
Okay, so Oscar Wilde, famous writer of the late 19th century in England, and he was very famously gay, and his boyfriend's dad called him a sodomite. He miswrote sodomite, which means called him a gay guy. And he took his boyfriend's father to court saying, you've defamed me. And everybody was like, Oscar Wilde, why are you doing this? We all know that he said the truth. And
because they all knew that he was gay.
Yes.
Even though it was so long ago.
And so because of the things that were said in court, he ended up having to go to jail because being gay was criminal back then. And he basically suffered so much in jail that he got out, but he was so in such physical decline that he died. And like, there's just the hubris. What I'm saying is Andy Cohen 100% has done cocaine with housewives. Andy Cohen should...
That's your opinion.
It is my opinion.
It's your opinion.
Yes, that Andy Cohen has 100% done that. And if Andy Cohen has in any way ever done cocaine near a housewife and sues Leah McSweeney for defamation, that would be not hard to prove. And then he would be like... you know, in trouble.
I don't think he, from what I gathered from the article, I'm not saying a lawsuit is there, but I think he wants them to retract
Lawyers are threatening, and that's lawyers' job is to threaten. But also, like, as everyone's been saying, we would like things less if we thought that Andy Cohen wasn't doing coke with the housewives that he likes.
That's what I said. I'm like, it's a late night talk show. Personally, I don't think it's happening now.
Yes.
If it happened 10 years ago.
Yes.
On occasion.
Yes.
But why would she have knowledge of it unless someone told her? Because she was supposed to be sober. She was only on the show. Brandi Glanville said, look, I've known Andy for 13 years. I've never hung out with him besides being on a reunion or Watch What Happens. We've never had dinner. We've never hung out.
Why would it trouble you if two of your colleagues were doing a social drug? I realize that it's illegal. I realize that he is, to some extent, their boss. But it's like... you guys drink together. Are you trying to tell me? I
know people take gummies together.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Look, I don't really care, but I was like, this is not going to be the thing that takes Andy Cohen down.
No.
No. And I thought it was better that he just never even addresses it.
Exactly.
But I don't know. There was a little bit of him addressing it last week. Here they are together. Okay. Did you hear about this holdovers thing?
No.
This just came out last night. There is this guy who is saying, I have a script that I submitted with the Writers Guild.
Yes.
And there was a lot of interest in this script in 2013. And it is line by line, the holdover stole my script.
Okay, this is fascinating. Because
yes.
About once every 10 years, we get sort of like a big plagiarism accusation from someone. One of the last big ones was the TV show New Girl. Do you remember New Girl? And...
New Girl with where she had the three guys that all lived together? Oh.
And so, like, the season that came out, these two girls were like, they plagiarized this from us. We sent this to WME. And what's funny about it is, to somebody who's outside of Hollywood, it would have looked like such a clear case of plagiarism. It was like, girl who shows up to her boyfriend wearing a trench coat and nothing underneath and finds him having sex with another man. And all of these,
was that actually in New Girl?
Yes.
That's very specific.
But, except for the fact that that was something that was in like five different pilots that year. It was just sort of like, there are like these trends. And the thing is, I can very much understand if there were somebody who had a screenplay that was about you know, a boarding school or even a boarding school where people were staying there over Christmas break, where you would be like, this is my movie. And it is something, it's like there were a lot of those movies.
There's probably a lot of writers that maybe have lived that where they had to stay over the holiday.
I mean, especially considering the number of like writers in our industry who are sort of like fancy prep school boys.
Yes.
The line by line. The thing is like if there are individual jokes or individual moments or something that like reflect that somebody probably read this, that's a different situation. But so much of the time, like I 100% on NBC, there was a sitcom called Outsourcing. And I, 3 years, 4 years before that, wrote a sitcom with the same premise, like white guy has to go to India to run a call center. And it was called Outsourcing and all of that. But then when it came out, I wasn't going to sue anybody because it was just multiple people having the same idea. It happens with jokes all the time.
Well, exactly. And then you look at the big picture and you just say, it happens with stand-ups all the time.
Yeah.
And I do want to say, what I've realized when someone is accused or you're proving that your joke was stolen by somebody, do you know who cares the least? The rest of the world.
Yes.
Only comedians care. No non-comedian is ever outraged, ever wants to cancel that person.
Yeah.
They're like, who cares? Joke wasn't that great anyway.
Yes.
So it's like, if it does happen to you, it is frustrating. It is like heartbreaking and annoying and you want to scream it from the rooftops. But like, you're not going to have legal recourse. It's also just like not going to make you look good. I mean, when it happened to me,
yes,
it just taught me, which someone accused me of stealing a Star 69 joke, and
that's
I
so
told the
funny.
Whole story a million times. But what it taught me was sometimes those general jokes that can be stolen, whether they're a swipe to the left type of dating. But that because they can be stolen, that's when I stopped writing that way.
Yes.
I only do very specific
things
about my life.
Do jokes that can only come from you.
So Writers Guild said, this isn't our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Just because you registered this with us, though it is a smart thing if you've registered there.
100%.
Still, I could register something tomorrow there. They're not like reading it.
Yeah.
It's in the thing as like a receipt. So then he will have to get an attorney.
And then he has to get an attorney. And it's so funny because people get attorneys who aren't from LA who do sue about these things. Well, the people who are here understand that, like, it's not going to go anywhere because, like, those girls with New Girl, they were like, well, we sent it to WME. And they were like, well, WME was her agency. And it's like, WME does not read these things, you know?
Yeah.
Just because they are sitting there.
It's a really hard thing. That's why when I come up with show and movie ideas, I just say it on here.
Yes.
I go, this is my idea, but go for it. If you're going to sit down and write it, go for it. I would like to watch it in 3 years. And I don't care that was my idea because I could go back to the show and go, oh, I'm so glad you took my idea and executed it. I don't fucking care because I don't have time to write a movie.
To be clear, Alexander Payne, the director of this, was supposed to direct a screenplay that I had written, but instead he went and he made the holdovers. And so I believe everything that this person is accusing.
That's amazing.
No, it's a great movie. Did you see it?
I told you, I'm sorry, I've not seen like anything.
It's really funny.
But I think I would like it. I should watch it with Brandon.
Yes.
This just popped up. This is from the Morning Juice. I don't like that they call their thing juice. No, just kidding. Morning Juice, Box TV. This girl did a TikTok or whatever. Her name is Tiffany Red, and she was saying, I just was listening to a Beyonce song in the car and, you know, calling her out on how she doesn't pay and doesn't give the right amount percentage to the people that write her songs.
I mean,
but I don't know if that's true or not.
This seems ridiculous to me because, like, my friend T.S. Madison, she has a quote that was sampled in one of Beyonce's song and also some language that was, and she's a credited writer and she, you know, that's, you know, this is like.
And so she gets money from Beyonce.
She gets money from Beyonce.
Okay, well,
and
I'm glad you could give Beyonce, I'm sure Beyonce will invite you to her concert now because you stuck up for her. I'm glad you have some real info because I don't know if this is true or not.
But I think that is one of the things that Beyonce does is she sort of like in a very Madonna kind of way, like reaps from the culture and sort of like reprocesses it. But she does such a great job of shining a light on the people who she is learning from. And like, you know, one of the great things about the current album coming out is like all of the talk and attention that's being paid to Black women who have been in country music for the last 50 years and like learning about ladies from the 60s and stuff like that. And, you know.
But, that is cool.
Yes.
Well, you also know that people think that she took the song from the cartoon Franklin.
No, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Which one? Texas Hold'em?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the beginning of Franklin.
Oh, it does.
Hey there, Franklin. And I don't know what's going on with that case.
I mean, let's hope it's a candy situation of whoever wrote the Franklin theme song just gets added as a songwriter and makes a bunch of money.
Hopefully.
Candy Burris just saying, why, yes, I did write that Ed Sheeran song. Like, it just, like, being like...
Wait, that just happened? Wait, what is
this? No, this was years ago. The song that they took to court and proved, like, had basically was too close to No Scrubs.
And then
she is now a credited writer on it. And so she was just like, more power to it. Let it get more number ones. Like, it's
right.
More money for me.
Yeah. Okay, getting to the Oscars, what did you think of the John Cena naked bit?
Look,
he walked out naked to present Best Costumer.
I'm the audience for this. I love to see a meaty boy. But also, I thought it was really fun. I'm tired of hearing the same, oh, the language of film is international. Like a lot of the intros for the categories are really boring. And I thought that this was very fun and memorable. And I think, you know, costume design is one of those fun places. Like a couple of years they did like a runway show. I don't know if it like worked. I thought it was really cute and really funny and enjoyed the photos from members of the audience who had better views of his butt.
So we were able to watch it. Of course, there was chatter and trying to get photos and people's numbers so they come on Juicy Scoop.
Yes.
But I was basically watching it with Peter, and I thought the show went really, really well.
Yes.
I thought Jimmy Kimmel did great. One joke that he's being criticized for is making fun of Robert Downey Jr.'s drug past.
Why?
Well, I'm just saying some people don't like that.
No,
they think
you've
worked so hard to brush this off, you know, not be there. But I feel like Robert was okay with it.
No,
so 100%. If Robert's okay with it, who cares?
Robert's making jokes the whole time. And there is also a reality of women don't have the option of coming back from the brink like that.
True.
Like women who, any woman who woke up in a child's bed in somebody else's home would be crazy and have a conservatorship and never get to be in this kind of space again. And the fact that we let men go off the deep end and then, you know, they're in a couple of good roles and we're like, we respect you. I think that's great. But I think also making jokes about it and acknowledging it is real because, like, his actions had impact on people. And one of the things I really liked about, was it his SAG Awards speech where he talked about the degree to which his wife had to be there to sort of, like, pick him up and put him back together again. I really appreciated. I thought he was really funny and gracious. And, you know, Kimmel has nothing to apologize for. He was really great.
And, yeah, so I thought, and I loved that, you know, for Best Supporting Actress, five women that have won that were also friends with the person introduced them. I love that introduction. I thought that was really special and
Mary
cool.
Mary Steenburgen wore the same outfit that she wore back in 1981.
Oh, I didn't know that. She looked great. I love her.
Yes.
So I thought all of that really played well.
Yes.
Then, of course, Emma Stone got up and her zipper had broken. And I appreciate that more than Jennifer Lawrence's fake fall.
I mean, I think Emma Stone is so great and so adorable, and I respect her so much. This was the one category that was still up in the air. And there were more surprises last night than I think, you know, American Fiction winning Best Adapted Screenplay was exciting, and no one thought that was going to happen. But, like, this killed me because Emma Stone was so good in Poor Things. If you should only watch one of these movies, you should watch Poor Things. You will enjoy it. You'll think it's weird, but you'll enjoy it. But Lily Gladstone was so good in Killers of the Flower Moon, and just sort of realizing, like, Emma Stone gets to be in a role that gets Academy Award nominated once every 3 years. And there's been one role in the last 100 years for a Native American woman that positioned her as, you know, a realistic Best Actress nominee, and it kills me, and I really, really hope that more comes for Lily Gladstone, because she came so fucking close.
Right.
So fucking close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really great point.
Also, but that dress was great.
Yeah, she looked great. And then I just, there's nothing I love more than siblings who work together.
Yes.
So Billie Eilish and Phineas, and you know that their mom is like a soap star?
And a groundling.
Yeah.
I thought you would mention that she was a groundling.
She was a groundling?
She was a groundling.
Oh, I thought she was also in soaps.
I mean, many people are both.
Yeah, yeah.
Melissa McCarthy told a joke at like one of the recent award shows about the first time I met you, you were in your mom's uterus because she was my improv teacher.
I love it. So they're youngest, so that's great. And then she went to the Vanity Fair after party and Flavor Flav presented her with one of his bejeweled clocks.
I'm a little...
Which is really weird. Like, why is he there? The whole thing is strange.
I love it. I think Flavor Flav is a good celebrity, and I'm glad we keep him around.
Yes.
It's what we need VH1 for.
Right.
Billie Eilish, I'm a little tired of her being, like, befuddled when she is accepting award. Like, oh, shucks, I don't know. It's like, calm down. You know what you're doing now. But she's a great celebrity as well. I mean, her sense of fun, like having her, like watching Ariana Grande present it to her and have it just be like pop star buddies saying hello. It, like,
when do you think she's going to get rid of this like male prep school outfit look?
I think the fact that she dresses in outfits that are heightened, but not in the way that we expect women to be heightened, I really respect it. There have been a couple of times that she has va-va-va-voomed, and she pulled it off, and it was great. But I think letting people know I'm not going to play by your rules every time is really great and opens the world up for other people who show up to award shows who don't have bodies that fit into that world in the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of which, this was something that people were asking about.
What the fuck was it?
Okay, so this is Emily Blunt and Florence Pugh. They had both beautiful dresses.
They were,
but instead of their straps, sometimes your straps as a woman might slip off or be too tight. These were all up. First, when she was sitting in her chair, I thought, how is it that this is not laying down right? Didn't she sit down?
Well, it's clearly a situation.
But it's an on-purpose. They call them floating strap dresses.
On purpose?
Yeah, it's on purpose. Because look at that. It's like that when they're standing.
But I assumed it was so fitted that it was a fitting mistake that it didn't sort of like go down.
No,
it looks a little bit like they went to Six Flags and they put the thing over them.
Yes. Oh my God. It's weird.
Also, we need to acknowledge
that
I don't like that Emily Blunt's dress looks like she's wearing men's tidy whities.
It's okay. It's okay.
Florence Pugh.
So someone, her coloring should have been not in a cream. That's what I think.
Florence Pugh can do no wrong.
She looked pretty besides that thing. Then Barbie, Margot, Robbie went to the Vanity Fair party and she wore no pants and like a gold corset that she would wear if she was Erica Jane. I don't know why. And then they also said she wore black too. The Oscars instead of her signature pink that she'd done for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people feel that was something that she'd planned out with America. Where she goes, America, you wear the Barbie pink since you're nominated and I hope you win.
Yes.
And I'm not going to wear pink. But then they're like, well, were you wearing black to be like, fuck you, I wasn't nominated. But she was still nominated as a producer, so whatever.
Okay. She gave an amazing performance. And I think it really was... We had a couple of movies this year that were sort of like wrestling with women's sovereignty over their own bodies, you know, like Poor Things and Barbie and even Killers of the Flower Moon and May December. And it really only was because Emma Stone was essentially doing the same thing, but kind of more in a different movie. I really thought her performance was amazing. I thought she advocated for herself really well along the entire sort of like award show route. And we do have the situation where Margot Robbie could have been categorized as one of the hot girls. And instead, she has made a business for herself as a really respected actress while at the same time looking like that. So I think she looks amazing.
I mean, I definitely think if you're going to the Oscars and then going to an after party,
also,
why not have a costume change? But, I don't know where they do it, but
also,
why not?
When you're going to a party, you want to be able to move around and you want to be able to dance. So wear something where you can.
Who was this? Oh, Florence Pugh then had a costume change. And this time she had full boob, sheer top, full nipple. And then if you zoom in, she just had kind of like underwear on too.
Great.
This whole look of, I've talked about it, this whole look of wearing like a bathing suit underneath a sheer long dress.
Yes.
I'm not a fan. I don't think it's that great. I don't think it's that sexy. I don't think it's that unique. I don't think it's timeless. It's just like, who cares?
Florence Pugh is our woman Chalamet. She is the girl.
She looks really pretty there, though.
She is the girl who gets to, like, she is in every respected movie. She needs to constantly be challenging us a little bit. I love that she showed nipple. Like, when somebody does something like that, I want to know that it's for them and not for me. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe that's never possible. I think that's a great dress.
So then Charlize Theron did what I was saying, just wearing, like,
yes,
the bathing suit underneath. Fine, who cares? This one was Jennifer Lawrence
really
changed from her polka dots. And I liked it, except that I just didn't like her cream underwear underneath,
yes,
which, of course, we see. But it was kind of 70s and cute. And then Emily, whatever you call her.
Ratajkowski?
Yes. She had this thing, this white dress that was basically, the comments were so funny. Someone said, looks like she wore her science report, like you know how you always have those boards?
Yes.
So it was like, so it was full side tit, very low. She has a wicked body. She oozes sexuality, which has been her thing.
I mean, when you take something that's really structural and really geometric and then put it up against like a pair of good boobs and stuff like that, it is exciting. I don't love it, mostly because she's giving you, like, blank model face, and I don't like blank model face.
Okay. Now, you know what's going on with this Kate Middleton princess. We're moving on from the Oscars.
I'm following in every moment of every day. Where do you think she is? What do you think is going on?
I think that whatever surgery she had
100%
was just more serious. I don't think it's a plastic surgery thing.
Oh, really?
I think it's a more serious thing that took longer and might have some complications with it, like colostomy back. I don't know. Something that would prevent her from going out in public, but that we could see her in a car.
People are saying Crohn's and that it possibly involved a temporary colostomy bag.
Yeah.
And the thing is when you're Kate Middleton, you have to understand that if you ever said you had a colostomy bag, you have to deal with shit jokes for the rest of your life. Like, it is just...
Wow, that's so true.
I mean, it really is.
And also, that can be a temporary thing, too. So hopefully, yes, if that's the case, it's temporary and she wants to get the best care she can. And also, she's probably, like, hopefully enjoying this downtime. Like, let her have a break. Who cares?
Absolutely. Like, I do think it's really funny that we've come to this point, like, less than 2 years into King Charles's reign, when they kind of need Prince Harry. Like, you know, he's out of commission. Camilla is taking a long vacation. William is trying to be there for Kate in some way, whether it's, okay, I mean, let's explore
There's always the rumors that he was having an affair with their, like, couple friends.
Yes.
The woman on there.
Yes.
That was always
the Marchioness of Chumley.
Who, like, was clearly, she was like a model, but not nearly as cute as Kate.
Yes.
But whatever.
No, I mean, in a very British way, no chin. And a husband who is, like, I believe 20 years older than she is. I think what you're saying is the most likely. I like she went in for the kind of routine plastic surgery that the royal family knows how to get in Switzerland, and then something went wrong, and so they're dealing with that. But then there are the speculations that, like, when the Photoshop involved no wedding ring.
Okay, so the Photoshop for people is that she posted a photo of herself.
The palace put it out as official communication.
And it was her sitting in a chair with her oldest son behind her and the boy and the girl on either side and her hand coming around. So first people were like, oh my God, she doesn't have her wedding ring on. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're getting divorced. But then they got rid of the photo. They took it down. And then she did a comment and said, because they noticed that Charlotte's hands were weird or something.
Yeah.
And then she wrote, like many people, I was messing, like, as if she's doing it herself.
No.
I was messing around with a little editing of a photo. No reason to be concerned.
Okay. Last night on Twitter, somebody speculated that the bad Photoshop was the work of the graphic designers who had been told to put together a Photoshop as an FU to their bosses.
They purposely did a bad job.
They purposely, because it was basically like, no one whose job this is would do that.
Right.
But,
I personally don't. I guess I'm dumb. I did not see it.
But also,
did you see it?
I mean, it did look kind of weird, but also I
didn't see it. I would never have known.
Well, and also sort of understanding that the higher ups at the palace would never notice that. But that person was saying that they thought the no wedding ring was a nod to what's going on. Because one of the other speculations is that because of William possibly cheating, that basically Kate is saying, like, I'm leaving. That this is a hard press, I want a divorce, I want a settlement, and that the palace is freaked out about that because with Charles in sort of like uncertain health conditions, you can't have somebody take the throne newly single. That it would be like weird and hard to do that. And so they're trying to sort that out. I don't think, and the reason I am inclined to believe those things is because I think if it were a sympathetic health story, the palace would give us more because it is potentially sympathetic.
Oh, good point.
And I think that the way that they are acting and reacting,
unless it's her saying, I don't want this out there because it's an embarrassing health situation, then I don't want people to have shit jokes for the rest of my life. And I feel I'm scared and I just don't want the truth out.
The thing that stuns me is I have watched celebrities that I know post photos over the course of 6 months to hide the fact that they were pregnant. And I'm just like, if this were something that they were in any way planning for, couldn't they have banked material in some way to prepare for this? It does feel like people were caught on their heels here.
Juicy. Well, we hope she's okay. The Matt Rife, we talked about Matt Rife, the cute comedian. This guy did a video. He said he was also a comedian, that he, you know, that both, that Matt Rife had to give BJs to people to
they,
be.
They were both invited into a room, and yes, two men there said, if you blow both of us, we will make you famous. And this guy walked out of the room. But before he was even out of the room, he alleges that Matt Rife was down taking care of those people. I would like to refute this from a number of angles. A.
Well, he has refuted it now. Well,
yes.
But I want to hear why you'd refute it. Go.
That dude is not getting the offer. Like, yeah, that dude is not, like, there's no exec here who's like, oh, I have to trade on the power that I have,
yeah,
to get that guy to blow me. The second thing is that, like, the shit isn't taking place in office. Like, the people who really can make you famous,
yes,
off of you taking care of them, there are enough applicants that they don't need to go hunting after people. I mean, you know, I definitely could see a situation where, like, yeah, I mean, like,
Of course it happens. Always happens.
We know who the big dudes are who do some of this stuff. One of them, Matt Rife, is 100% his type. But the thing is it doesn't need, it would not have been an explicit thing like that. It would have just been, do you want to meet in my office or for drinks? And if Matt Rife says for drinks, this dude knows that things are open. And if Matt Rife says in the office, then he understands that he is not into trading sex for greater success.
Okay, now, what about if someone says, would have said that to me?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to meet, like, I might want to manage you. Do
yes.
you want to meet in my office, or we could meet for drinks at whatever, this hotel? And now, this is 20 years ago, whatever. I would have maybe chosen the drinks because I would think I could also order some food and be fed.
Yes.
And I know I don't want to sleep with anybody, and I just wouldn't have thought that.
But I would say this is not, and look, 20 years ago, I think more managers and more agents were behaving as though that were something they had a right to, which is very inappropriate.
Right.
But I would say the people who are still doing that, most people have been taken down by Me Too. And the people who haven't been taken down by Me Too are big enough and fancy enough that I'm always wondering when the articles are going to come out about them, but they're probably not because they have enough power. And the thing is like, if you're the, I mean, I've been to, like, I went to a party like 7 or 8 years ago, and there was a tall, hot, straight guy there, and I was like, why are you here? And he was just like, and it was a gay party, and he was like, my manager told me it would be good for me to be here. And the thing is somebody,
now, do you think he participated in some gay fun?
100, like, I
he
think.
He did?
I think that the option,
or was it like, go because there's so many gay guys that actually will be there and will get to meet you, and they're writers and they're powerful people in the industry.
No, I think what it was if you want to, it will be there. You get to make that choice.
Okay.
Like, and I would think that if somebody was sending their client into that situation, they would send them with some preparation and some understanding of what the situation
like
was.
Like lube.
Yes.
Like it's like a little kit.
Yeah.
A little safety kit. No. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, this guy, Matt, got very upset.
Yes.
And he was like, this is bullshit. I'm sick of this because so many people think I'm only here because I'm attractive and da-da-da-da. I certainly didn't do this. And now the guy has said it was satire. It was joking. And the thing about
That's
all these people
satire.
Doing these TikToks and stuff
yeah.
and telling things, unless you put it right in it, like comedy, parody, satire in the thing. Because sometimes people will tell a story, like there's this woman I'm seeing, she's a really cute woman, she has a little baby, and she's talking about how, like, she's like, my mom, you know, doesn't make us meals, and this, and she's joking, saying her mom's a bad grandma.
Yeah.
Clearly it's funny. Clearly, but of course there's some dumb people that are like, you're ungrateful, it's not your mom's job to take care of her kids. So some people just don't get it, even though if you read her thing, she's funny. And if you went to her thing, she was funny. This guy was just trying to get clicks, for sure.
100%. But I think it doesn't take Matt Rife blowing a fancy executive or agent to become famous. There have always been dumb people who want to watch comedy. Like, there's always been, like, people with no taste who like... You know, we've had Dane Cooks before. We've had so many, you know, kind of hot, strong guy who seems like he might be you know, he looks boyfriendy, but also says mean things about women. And we all love it.
Sometimes, speaking of people taking jokes or whatever, like somebody put a joke like on a thread or a Twitter or whatever. And it was a joke about 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm like, I literally had this in my act like 7 years ago. And, you know, I got a lot of laughs at, but it wasn't the most original idea. Yeah. And it's certainly not original now. It came from a guy. And then, but it sometimes it annoys me how many people are like, this is hilarious. This, you're so true. This, I'm like, and I want to write, like, not original, but I'm like, then what do I look like in the comments? Like, no, a bitch. 100%. Whatever.
And some people need that. That is there for other people, and let them enjoy that.
Yeah. This is Tammy Pescatelli,
who
is a friend of mine. She's a comedian. Somebody with a fake account with her name with one misspelled letter wrote a really cruel thing about Britney and Jack's breaking up, saying, like, so, and then people picked it up.
Yeah.
People picked up, they're like, oh, comedian Tammy Pescatelli says that the reason that they're separated is because of Britney's weight or whatever. Yeah. She never, ever said this. There is like a fake account putting out stuff that makes, and Tammy would never say this. This is not her kind of comedy. And so then she, and then Reality Blur picked it up.
Yeah.
And then a couple more people pick it up. And it wasn't, it's so dangerous because not only does it make her look bad, but you're hurting someone else. She never said it. And it's also scary to know that someone could put this out there and... That's someone might have read this article and then may think that when she's on my show in a month, they're going to go, they may have not heard this episode and be like, oh my God, I hate that girl. She said the mean thing about Britney.
No, it's legally actionable. You are using this person's likeness. You are casting them in a false light. And unfortunately, you know, people like us and Tammy Pescatelli don't have like a team who are sort of like searching for things like this and making sure that they don't happen. It's really rough. And I hope that more people, I hope whoever did this, like, has to go to court and pay some money. And also there should be laws about it.
Yeah. I mean, that is really, really dangerous. Okay. So, Guy.
Yes.
Let's go back and tell everybody, what do you have going on? Make sure they can follow you. What's happening in your life?
You can follow me on any social media, at Guy Branum. I have a show at the Elysian Theater on May 7th that is part of Netflix's Joke.
Love it.
So please come to that show.
And don't you have some other TV thing that, didn't I see you promote some show?
Oh, I'm in a new movie.
Come on, boy.
Yeah. It's called First Time Female Director. It was directed by Chelsea Peretti, and I have a little part in it, and it's on the Roku channel.
Right, I want to see it because you are like, it looks so funny and great. Thank you, Guy Branum, as always. Delight. You're going to rush off and make a big deal.
100%.
On a movie that will then not be made and then stolen from you by someone else, and you'll just have to go back to the computer.
Yep.
Okay, great. So happy for you.
Always pleasure to be with you.
Love you.